From LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Welcome to On Track. I'm Aisha Jaffer. Louisville continues to face significant challenges around homelessness with increasing demand for services across the city. One of the organizations responding is Volunteers of America Mid-States. They're developing a new community care campus through a public-private partnership with Louisville Metro Government designed to help address the factors that keep people cycling in and out of homelessness. Jennifer Hancock is the president and CEO of Volunteers of America Mid-States. She's a licensed clinical social worker with a master's degree in social work from the University of Kentucky. Hancock brings more than 25 years of nonprofit leadership to this work, including 18 years with the VOA. She has also earned recognition for her civic leadership, including 5 consecutive appearances on the Business First Power 50 list and the 2025 Nonprofit Visionary Leader Award. I spoke with Hancock about the new community care campus, how the VOA sees its role in Louisville's homelessness response, and what meaningful long-term solutions could look like. Well, Jennifer, thanks for being here on Track.
Such a pleasure to be here.
For those who aren't familiar, what does the VOA do and what role do you play in Louisville?
Okay, so Volunteers of America has been operating in Kentucky and actually across the country since 1896. We are a nonprofit behavioral health human service organization that's serving all of Kentucky, West Virginia, Tennessee, and Southern Indiana. We're a regional affiliate of a large national network of nonprofits. And I've worked for the organization for nearly 19 years as the president and CEO for the past 10, and just absolutely have fallen in love with the mission over time and continue to deepen my commitment to bringing forward services and programs that can really move the needle and address some unique community challenges.
Where does housing fit into the mix of services VOA provides?
One of the 7 divisions inside of our organization is addressing homeless and housing challenges throughout the communities in which we serve. And that has become absolutely a growing part of our mission, particularly here in Louisville. We have a number of housing developments that are underway right now. And then, of course, our partnership with Louisville Metro and Mayor Greenberg and bringing the community care campus to life has been a real joy and pleasure for us to get to be a partner on that project. We're working really hard to bring the first phase online in the first quarter of 2026, which we can't wait to open our family shelter.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because I know Volunteers of America is very involved in that community care campus, and that's planned for the Smoketown neighborhood, right?
That's right.
What is this campus, you know, meant to do, and how did you get involved?
So this is a campus that uniquely combines healthcare, housing, and social services. We went around the country and looked at a number of other state-of-the-art models from San Antonio to Denver to Memphis. And what we're going to do here in Louisville will absolutely be first class. It will be a nationally recognized model, I have no doubt. When Mayor Greenberg came into office, he pledged immediately that he was going to address the growing crisis of homelessness throughout our community. Of course, we saw the numbers rise during COVID. We haven't seen the decline as quickly as we had hoped post-COVID. And so when he came into office, he purchased that property in Smoketown. He issued an RFP, and Volunteers of America, like many other wonderful organizations, responded to the RFP. We have a long history of providing services for unhoused youth and their parents in a family shelter program that really is kind of more than just a shelter because it's a professionally managed program of services where we move 95% of our families into permanent housing where they stay. The data showed from the Coalition for the Homeless that there was an uptick in family homelessness in our community. Now, of course, this is a population that we typically do not see on our street corners. They are the hidden population of unhoused. They're in their family vehicles. They're doubled up in relatives' homes. They're sleeping on church floors and basements. And so we responded to that RFP with that data in mind and said we'd like to replicate a program that we call Unity House, which is our family emergency shelter. Meanwhile, we had already started construction of Monarch Station, which will be 80 brand new units of affordable housing in the Germantown neighborhood, right next to our Shelby Street Clinical Campus, where we're delivering substance use treatment services. So because of that pro forma with 80 new units of housing, we said we'd like to replicate that on the campus as well. So they called us in for our interview and they said, congratulations, you scored really high on the RFP. We certainly want you to do family shelter and affordable housing. And We'd also like you to be the managing partner and developer for the entire campus. So ultimately, Volunteers of America has that role to play today in the development of the Community Care Campus. We're working with a variety of partners to bring this multi-purpose campus to life.
And just a quick clarifier, what is an RFP?
Okay, that's a request for proposal. So it's an opportunity to respond to do business as a vendor with the city.
I mean, I feel like you walked us through what the new campus includes, but if you have anything further to add
sure,
in detail.
Sure, I would like to share that in addition to the family emergency shelter, that will be an additional 30 families that will be served. We also have the opportunity to partner with family health centers and UofL Health and Norton Healthcare, who will provide medical respite. That's 30 beds of medical respite services. Those are for individuals who are no longer inpatient eligible, but they still need home health, but unfortunately have no home to receive that additional follow-up care. Ultimately, without services, they end up back in emergency departments. They cycle back through a system of care where they're really not getting their needs met in a way that allows them to be more self-sufficient. So we'll have on the campus 30 additional beds of medical respite care for that population. And in addition to that, family health centers will have a pharmacy on site, a primary medical clinic on site. So healthcare services will be available for all patients who need access to care, including Smoketown residents who can come onto the campus and access those services. YMCA Safe Place will serve young adults 18 to 24. These are young people who age out of care, and on their 18th birthday, if they've been in the foster system, they're no longer eligible for certain benefits and ultimately find their ways onto our streets. And so this will be an opportunity to prevent homelessness amongst that population. So YMCA Safe Place will deliver transitional housing. And then Volunteers of America, in a real show of our commitment to being a partner and a significant operator of services on this campus, we're moving our headquarters there and basically building a model of co-locating services inside of our new headquarters there so that other service providers, whether it's Legal Aid Society, Goodwill Industries, the Department of Community-Based Services, other providers will be available on that campus and will be co-located with us to make sure that we provide a seamless system of care to the individuals on that campus. There's a community center there. The Louisville Police Department will be able to operate their Police Activities League off of the campus and serve individuals and youth who are already on the campus through their Police Activities League. And then we'll have some transitional housing, some apartments that families coming out of our other programs will be able to access.
Because I'm not familiar, what is the Police Activities League?
So that is a youth entertainment, recreational sports kind of program that the Louisville Metro Police Department operates. They have a wonderful leader in Michael Bogan, and he recruits officers to come and build relationships with young people. And we felt like that this is a perfect opportunity for us to be a connector and to bring the police department together with some of the most vulnerable individuals, especially young people in our community, to start building those positive opportunities to interact with police.
There's so many pieces to this.
Absolutely.
And there's so many services under this. So this might be an impossible question, but how many people or families will it serve annually?
We will serve about 500 people every single year. And those are individuals connected to families. A lot of young people will be served by this project as well as adults. So it's a very broad base of vulnerable people in our community who today don't have the service connection, or if they have the service connectivity, it's fractured. And it's certainly not in one place at one time where they can access an entire system at one time.
Kind of like looking at the whole body, the whole picture.
Absolutely. It's a holistic approach to one of the most complex issues facing communities across the country, because it's not just the challenge of being unhoused. It's also the underlying issues that ultimately are the root cause, whether that's a mental health challenge, a substance use disorder. So we're going to be providing those kinds of services as well and make sure that as we're assessing individuals and taking care of those root cause needs.
Yeah. And you mentioned those root causes. Your organization talks about the goal being to end that cycle of homelessness by addressing those root causes. What do you see? You'd mentioned a few, but what do you see as those root causes?
You know, we see every single day in the programs that we operate today, whether it's coming in the front door of our veteran services or our drug and alcohol treatment services or our homeless and housing services, many more people today are suffering from some pretty chronic untreated mental health conditions. And sometimes that ends up being treated by substances, unfortunately, which then spirals into some more difficult challenges. So we deal with a lot of folks who are coming out of incarceration, who are coming out of hospitalization because of these challenges. Those are more expensive places to be served, but only in a superficial way. We believe that by having people on a campus where we can house them for a period of time, it gives us the space to be able to really understand exactly what has been accompanying that challenge and be able to start rendering those services. We provide evidence-based, data-driven services that we have proven outcomes for, what we call co-occurring. When you have both a mental health and a substance use disorder, that is particularly the challenge of our times today, co-occurring disorders where we see those manifest in people who are experiencing behavioral health distress on our streets downtown in particular. They deserve access to care and to be treated in a way that's not about institutionalization. It's really helping them find quality of life. For some of them, they'll need ongoing supportive services for a very long time, if not their entire lives. But for many of them, they'll be able to have a shorter stay of care, and then they'll get back into the workforce. They'll be able to live more independently. And we see proof of concept every day in the programs we're already providing.
Right. You're looking at a centralized campus as a way to approach those root causes.
That's exactly right. To have everything co-located so that it's easily accessible. Today, if you're suffering from one of these ailments, you have to go all around town and figure out how to get from A to B to C to D. And without transportation, without someone to navigate that experience, it's very difficult to stay in it. And so people fall out of care very regularly.
And you touched on this. It looks like, you know, you went and did some research and went to San Antonio. So I'm guessing Haven for Hope.
That's exactly right.
And I know Houston and Phoenix and a lot of other cities have addressed this with a centralized campus with varying results. Why did you choose this model?
So this is a model that we believe speaks to the greatest needs in our community. So we've relied on our friends at the Coalition for the Homeless to help us look at those who are most underserved. And that includes, as we said, the patients coming out of inpatient care who need home health, families, certainly young people. So we wanted to focus on those highest priorities of where we see the most need and to be able to bring partners to the table who have expertise. We think that that works best when we are sitting eye to eye, working together very collaboratively, not spread out throughout the community. So that type of accessibility, we just can't state enough how powerful that is for individuals who lack transportation, who lack the know-how to find their way through a system of care that can be overwhelming and complex. So we are so convinced that this is going to be one of the key parts of really moving the needle and transitioning our community from a system that is very fractured to one that is cohesive and strong.
I know you're touching on this a bit, but in plain terms, how does this model work?
This model works by having providers who are already working with these individuals on one physical campus together, where there will be ongoing communication and collaboration between providers. A system of care that includes daily contact with those most vulnerable, who then over time, as they engage in services, gain some more independence, can have less contact with case managers and healthcare navigators, community health workers. Those are some of the roles that will be present on this campus. And because it's an entire continuum of care, meaning it starts with emergency access to care, emergency shelter, then followed by transitional housing. Ultimately, our plan is to build permanent housing on this campus as well, so that truly every level of care is available and accessible to those who need us.
Some people in the city experiencing homelessness have had repeated interactions with the city under the street camping ban, including citations and clear outs. Do you have concerns that those experiences might make people hesitant to come to the community care campus?
We're actually partnering with the City of Louisville and St. John's Center, the Coalition for the Homeless, other providers to participate in an outreach program that lets folks who are unhoused know that this is a safe alternative. In fact, there is now a new homeless encampment docket and an outreach program that gives them diversion access to care. And so there is an effort being made to provide a pathway out of the criminal justice system for those individuals who are ready to seek services. Certainly that does become a risk factor that we're all thinking about and mitigating actively. we will message this as a safe alternative, that we want people to come here because we can show them a pathway where they can live more independently and more successfully. So yes, while we're being attentive to that, we don't believe that that's going to get in the way of the success of this project.
Are there other ways that you're trying to build trust with those who this campus is for?
Those conversations are ongoing, and we have really worked hard to hire credible messengers, individuals for whom have had that lived experience of being unhoused, who are now community health workers, who are now case managers, who are now working inside of our shelter on first, second, and third shift, building those trusted relationships with the participants so that over time we can continue to leverage that trust and credibility as we transform this project into a state-of-the-art campus. We know, though, that there's some risk because of new policies that have been enacted that have put individuals vulnerable into a spotlight where they could be potentially cited or arrested. So absolutely, we want to be attentive to that. We believe strongly that because of the hiring model that we use in terms of hiring those with lived experience, we'll continue to use that as we staff up this new campus.
It's really cool to hear. There's more empathy and understanding of this entire process.
That's such a powerful dynamic inside of our organization and something that I'm really proud of, that we intentionally hire for that. We have folks that serve on our board of directors who have their own lived experience. We need that expertise and that perspective built into every facet of our organization in order to be successful.
Another thing that's going on is HUD recently proposed funding shifts towards more restrictive transitional housing models before withdrawing that rule after a lawsuit. If federal funding moves in that direction again, how would that affect the VOA's approach at the community care campus?
We are hopeful, cautiously optimistic, I guess I should say, that HUD will reconsider this idea of reducing permanent supportive housing funding and prioritizing transitional housing. The success of permanent supportive housing is undeniable. Putting individuals into housing with services attached has proven to be the most effective way of ending chronic homelessness in communities across the nation. We have been appealing to our federal delegation here in Kentucky, showing them the data that proves this point. And we believe that HUD will have an opportunity to reconsider the position on this. And if they should resume the investments in permanent supportive housing, we will get back to the table and start rebuilding our pro forma that will bring 80 brand new units of permanent housing onto this campus. That's what we called for initially when we responded to the request for proposal. It was to do that very type of project. Because of the change in HUD, we've decided to put that on hold for now, allow this court process to unfold in hopes that they'll be able to reconsider the decision that they've made to reduce what they consider as a philosophy of care that they disagree with called housing first, that we call permanent supportive housing. Again, the data speaks for itself. It is undeniable that it works.
Are there ways, though, that you're planning for that uncertainty in federal funding or shifting requirements?
At this point in time, all we can do is wait for the court process to take its course. We have no other means to backfill that funding. We've talked to our state partners. There is not the ability to backfill all of the federal funding losses at the state nor the city level. So we're really reliant on the federal government in this case to make these types of investments. So for now, we are waiting to determine how we move forward with the permanent housing. In the meantime, though, the good news associated with this project is adjacent to the boundary of the community care campus. Right across the alley is a brand new 34-unit project called the Chancery. The Chancery is a partnership between Louisville Metro Government and Volunteers of America, 34 units for individuals who will get permanent housing with supportive services. And already, since we've opened, we've filled up the entire first floor with 15 individuals who got keys to their first-time apartments, some of whom came directly off of the streets, some of whom came from another emergency shelter provider. We partner, for instance, with the Hope Village. It's right next door, and Stachel and her team have been great partners in helping us move individuals that she has served into those apartments. As soon as we get a certificate of occupancy for the second floor, we will be able to fill up those units in short order. So we do have some access to care for permanent housing as part of this project in Smoketown.
So it's across the street, and although it's not physically attached to the campus, it will be umbrellaed under the campus.
That's absolutely right.
You know, the community care campus is a major investment, as we're talking about, but the need in Louisville far exceeds what one site can meet. And it sounds like you have additional sites as well. But what additional supports or investments do you think are necessary to make a meaningful dent in the city's housing and homelessness challenges?
A companion to the Community Care Campus is an initiative that has started by Mayor Greenberg and his team in Louisville Metro Government called Home for Good. This is an initiative that would bring private investors, government dollars, along with private landlords together throughout the community, in addition to nonprofit service providers like BOA, to work together in building out more permanent supportive housing units. We know that the Community Care Campus can't be a silver bullet, and we never anticipated that it would be. But we do need more of those housing units available for the strategy that I've talked about. While HUD may be reconsidering, the rest of us are not. And we know that this is the most effective way to transition folks from the street into more healthy quality lives. And that is an initiative that we are excited to partner with. And I'll tell you that it is going to be a public-private partnership. We have some joint fundraising that we're doing. In fact, we're going to host an event for donors who care about addressing this community challenge to come out and join us on February 26th at Independence Bank in St. Matthews, where we're going to have a joint fundraiser to give individuals who care about addressing poverty, homelessness, root cause issues like mental health and substance use, an opportunity to make direct investments into both Home for Good and the Community Care Campus. So it's really a two-pronged strategy. In addition to that, there's an entire network in this community of organizations who are working to address this issue each and every day. The Coalition for the Homeless certainly being an advocate organization and addressing some of the policy matters that impact all of us as service providers. So there is a strategy. We need more funding, frankly, and need more engagement in helping us put all of the pieces of this puzzle together.
We've been talking about this care campus this whole time. When is it expected to open?
The first phase will open in the first quarter of 2026. In that first phase, we prioritized intentionally to serve unhoused families. Today on the campus, we're actually operating a transitional housing shelter. We had some funding last year from the PNC Bank Foundation. They said, my goodness, what are you going to do in the coldest winter months with families who are currently needing access to care while this thing is getting built? We said, well, we have the ability to use one of the buildings on the campus if we had some resources. They were very generous in their engagement and their investment. So we are serving today 13 families. That includes 30 children, 30 kids who are going to JCPS schools who get picked up at the Community Care Campus on their school buses. They come home to us in the evenings where they get a tutoring program and dinner, and we take care of all the case management needs for the family. So we're actually serving families today on the campus. But in the spring of 2026, we will open what is called Unity House, which is the second program of its kind in Louisville that VOA will operate. We'll serve another 30 families there. And then beyond that, we will start opening the other components. That will include the medical respite and the YMCA Safe Place transitional housing for young adults. That will happen in 2026. We'll bring the VOA headquarters and the community partner space online. Then we'll start working in 2027 on the transitional housing and the community center, and ultimately hoping by then we'll be ready to build the affordable housing. So it's a two-year project from this point in time.
Do you have any advice for someone who maybe doesn't have housing, who might be waiting for housing like that?
We encourage people to go through the Coalition of the Homeless centralized intake process. So there is a way for people to access services through that centralized intake where they're assessed over the phone so that the caller can express exactly what their challenges are, and then they're routed into a particular service provider based on their level of need. So there is a centralized process available in our community for those individuals today.
And for listeners who want to learn more or find ways to get involved, where do you recommend they begin?
Our website is the best place to start. Volunteers of America is at voamid.org. We have an entire landing page for the Community Care Campus. We have a way to contribute to this project. We also invite people to come out. We've had a number of hard hat tours this year and really appreciate people getting to see the campus. Seeing it is so much more powerful than hearing about it or reading about it. So we're doing tours throughout the year. We even had a person reach out to us because she was hearing about it in the community, asked to come take a tour. After her tour, she made an anonymous $500,000 commitment to this project because she saw it for herself. She heard the vision and then she saw the campus and could imagine the power and impact this project will have. So she's made a $500,000 gift that needs to be matched dollar for dollar for us to unlock that $500,000 gift between now and March 31st, which is why we still have an important fundraising component as part of this project so that the private sector can contribute, because we are also going back to the General Assembly, Mayor Greenberg and VOA, to ask for some additional state funds. But our commitment has always been that this will be a public-private partnership. So our role has also been to be the lead fundraiser for this project, which means every single dollar that we're able to attract from corporations, foundations, and the generous public that lives amongst us is really critical to meeting the needs of every individual ultimately who will be served.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us on Track today.
Thank you so much.
On Track is produced by Louisville Public Media. Our production team includes Michelle Tyreen Johnson, Laura Ellis, and me, Aisha Jaffer, with support from Rebecca Feldhaus Adams and Alex Biscardi. Our music is by Kojin Toshiro. Find more at LouisvilleOnTrack.org, and remember, being kind is free. That's the start of community. Thanks for listening.